بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our fifth session reading from التوكل وحقيقة التوكل على الله by الشيخ العلامة صالح بن فوزان بن عبد الله آل فوزان حفظه الله. May Allah protect and preserve him. Our topic tonight is going to be the continuation of the Shaykh's discussion related to the necessity of combining between, one, putting one's trust upon Allah, and two, utilizing the asbab, the means, or the causes through which a person can achieve a goal. Before we look at what follows from what we completed last week, inshallah, we should make a quick review of what we covered last week. Maybe somebody can help me also with the page that we are on in English.
27.
Okay, page 26 or 27, and in Arabic, page 271. Yani halfway down, page 271 in Arabic. Okay, so as far as last week, what we covered from the question and study guide number 4, the first question being, clarifying the misunderstanding of many people. The author, Hafidhullah, says, Tawakkul ala Allah is not. And he explains what Tawakkul ala Allah is not. Now, Sadiq.
Does not mean leaving the means and entrusting the affairs to Allah, to claim trust in Allah, but does not go out and achieve.
Naam. Yani the Shaykh is saying here, starting out right here from the beginning, saying, Tawakkul ala Allah is not abandoning the asbab, leaving the means, while claiming to put one's trust in Allah, entrusting one's affairs to Allah, while not doing anything to achieve them. And he's saying that at-tawakkul ala Allah does not mean claiming that you put your trust in Allah while you don't do anything, you don't utilize any of the means that have been legislated in Islam. Question number 2, give one of the examples mentioned by the author of this type of misunderstanding as it relates to seeking risk, provisions, or ilm, knowledge. Naam, Abdul Wali.
We don't abandon seeking ilm by just sitting in our houses thinking that ilm will just come to us.
And we're not abandoning seeking knowledge by just sitting in our houses claiming that if Allah intended, if Allah willed for us to have knowledge, it's just going to come to us without us going out, doing anything, seeking. Another example that the Shaykh gave, naam. Naam, another example of this type of misunderstanding is a person claiming that if Allah had willed, if Allah intended, decreed for a person to receive sustenance, then the sustenance is just going to come to them while they're sitting in their homes without making any effort whatsoever. And the Shaykh is saying, no, this is wrong. This is not correct. And this is, the wrong understanding of at-tawakkul. Question number 3, give a dalil from the sunnah showing how utilizing the asbab along with tawakkul ala Allah, utilizing the means to achieve something and at the same time putting one's trust in Allah, is natural in the creation. An example of how this is seen in the natural creation. Naam, a talib. Naam, the hadith about the birds, the Prophet ﷺ saying that if you had put your trust in Allah in the way that he deserves to be trusted in, then like the birds do, if you were to do that, then Allah will provide for you like he provides for the birds who go out with their stomachs empty in the morning and come back with their stomachs full with the provisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author explains further, man utilizes the means of seeking provisions, or utilizes the means in his effort to seek provisions, while he puts his trust in Allah in attaining the objective. The Shaykh Hafidhullah is saying that in terms of seeking one's provisions, then a person has to utilize the means in terms of doing that. But in terms of acquiring the goal, achieving the goal, then in that sense a person, yani, puts their trust in Allah. So there are two sides here, that the person has to utilize the means and make some effort in seeking the objective, in seeking the goal. A person utilizes the means. But in terms of achieving it, attaining what is sought, then a person puts their trust in Allah completely and totally, not in the means at all. Question number 5, give a dalil from the sunnah where a man was ordered to combine between utilizing the asbab and at-tawakkul ala Allah. From the sunnah, na'am, Abdul Wali.
A man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should he trust in Allah or should he tie his camel?
Na'am. Should he trust in Allah or should he tie his camel?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, put your trust in Allah and tie your camel.
Put your trust in Allah and tie your camel. Naam. And he also mentioned naam. Yani, that's the second, next question, last question. Give an ayah from the Quran when we are commanded to utilize the asbab, the means, in seeking rizq. Yani, the Shaykh mentioned two ayats. One is Surah Al-Ankabut, 29:17, and the other from Surah Al-Jumu'ah, 62:10. Naam.
Question number 6.
I'm sorry. Oh, I skipped question number 6? Okay. He threw me off with that answer he gave. Allahu musta'an. Jazakallahu khair. Please, yani, if I miss something, or if I say something that is not correct, don't hesitate to bring it to my attention. Don't let me just go on, please. Jazakallahu khair. The scholars say, depending totally upon the asbab is shirk, while totally abandoning the asbab is qadh. Na'am, fadl.
Totally abandoning the asbab is belittling what Allah has legislated.
Na'am, is belittling what Allah has legislated.
And leaving off that which Allah has commanded.
And leaving off what Allah has commanded. Yani, it is qadh fi shar'ah, because it is as though if Allah has commanded us to utilize the means and a person feels that, I don't need that. It's as though they are actually rejecting what Allah has legislated. Yani, as being, yani, they're rejecting it as being objectionable. And they're belittling the Sharia. And at the same time, they are clearly abandoning that which Allah has commanded us with. That is, to utilize the means. And the last question is an ayah from the Quran where we're commanded to utilize the asbab. Yani, in seeking rizq. And the Shaykh gave two ayahs. One of them, Fadl.
فَإِذَا قُدِّيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ
without shaddah. فَإِذَا قُدِّيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ
كَنْتَشِرُ فِي الْأَرْضِ
وَابْتَغُوا
مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ
وَذَكَرُ اللَّهَ
كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ.
أحسن, ما شاء الله, جزاك الله خير. So in this ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the prayer has been completed, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, yani, go out into the earth. وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the bounty, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in both of these expressions, there's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, to get up and go out. After performing the prayer, to get up and go out. And number two, to actually seek. Yani, to make an effort to search for and seek out the bounties of Allah, the provisions that a person is in need of. Naam. Okay, so this is basically, yani, a summary of some of the points that we covered in the previous session. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to start on page 271, halfway down the page from the Arabic text, and from the English text, page 26. Okay, this is the statement, or this is the incident related about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu rebuking the people sitting in the masjid without going out, seeking the means of livelihood. Alright, so we're going to look at that, and then also we're going to look at, yani, an ayah from the Quran which also clearly indicates the necessity of seeking the means. Yani for whatever a person is in need of. Then we're going to go back to the hadith that we mentioned last week. The Shaykh mentions it here and he gives a brief explanation of it. Last week we didn't discuss that hadith because we're holding it for today so that we can see the explanation of the Shaykh. And then there's one other hadith that the Shaykh mentions. At that point, inshallah, we're going to stop the reading from there. And we're going to look at some other yani comments from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Thaymin concerning ahkam or the aqsam, yani the divisions of the people in terms of attaching themselves to the means, and also some commentary from Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah concerning ahkam, yani rulings or regulations or rules related to utilizing the means. So we're going to start on page 271, halfway down the page. It says, "Wa Umar." Yani this is in reference to what? The Shaykh's, what we started with last week, where the Shaykh said, Tawakkul is not just claiming to put your trust in Allah while abandoning making any effort, while abandoning doing anything, utilizing the means to achieve what a person is seeking. He said, this is not tawakkul. So here he brings the incident from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu saying, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ أَنَّ السَّمَاءَ لَا تُمْتِرُ ذَهَبًا وَلَا فِضَّةً. Yani, indeed, you all know that the heavens does not rain gold and silver. You all know this, that gold and silver doesn't come down from the sky. يُنْكِرْ عَلَى جَمَاعَةً جَلَسُ لِلْعِبَادَةِ. Yani, he is rebuking a group of people who are sitting in the masjid for the purpose of worship. But he is rebuking them for what? Because by them sitting in the masjid for worship, but not after the worship going out doing anything, as Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, yani when you have completed the prayer, فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, then go out into the earth, leave the masjid and go out, وَبَتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the bounties of Allah. He's rebuking them because they're just sitting in the masjid worshipping. He said, وَصَارُوا عَالَةً عَلَى غَيْرِهِمْ, and they became dependent on others for the things that they needed, because all they we're going to do is sit in the masjid, claiming that yani Allah is going to take care of them. If they stay in the masjid, they don't have to seek means. So he began to beat them. وَيَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالطَّلَبِ الرِّزْقِ, and order them to go out and seek their livelihood. وَيَقُولُوا لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ, indeed, you all know that the heaven doesn't rain down gold and silver. وَإِنَّمَا يَحْصُلْ الذَّهَبْ وَفِضَّةِ بِالسَّعِي وَالطَّلَبُ الرِّزْقِ وَفِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ, that indeed the only way that a person is going to get the things they need in this world, yani represented by gold and silver, yani money, the things that a person needs in this world, the sustenance, the livelihood, the only way a person is going to achieve this is by a sahi, making an effort, going out and doing something, وَالطَّلَبُ الرِّزْقِ, and seeking their provisions, وَفِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ, and utilizing the means that have been legislated, that are approved, that are lawful, and that are beneficial. Utilizing the means to achieve whatever it is that a person is seeking. Yani the only way that a person is going to get their livelihood or anything in this world that they are seeking is by making some effort. By seeking it, by utilizing the means that are either yani from al-asbab al-diniyah or al-asbab al-qawniyah. Yani from that which is legislated in Allah's laws in the Sharia, or that which is known from what Allah has decreed in the universal laws of things. The only way that a person is going to achieve something in this world is that they have to go out and get it, have to utilize the means. أَمَّا الَّذِي يَزْعَمْ أَنُّهُ مُتَوَكِّلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ مُتَوَكِّلٌ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَيُعَتِّلُ الْأَسْبَابِ فَهَذَا يُقَالُ لَهُ عَاجِزْ بِمَعْنَى كَسْلَانٍ. As far as the person who claims that he is مُتَوَكِّلٌ, that he is one who is putting his trust in Allah, and he is yani neglecting the means, he is not utilizing the means to achieve whatever he is desiring in this world, then it is said about this person that he is ajiz. Ajiz means the person that is, and here I'm going to note that the translation of this paragraph and the following one is kind of strange. So yani the meaning of ajiz, the one who is unable, incapable of doing something. That inability could be because of some physical handicap or some yani yani the person who has loss of sight or something like this. Or it could be, which is what the Shaykh is referring to here, it could be inability due to laziness. And a person, it's not that they're not physically able, but they're not willing to do anything. So the Shaykh is saying, this is what is said about such a person who doesn't make any effort, but claims that they are putting their trust in Allah alone. He said this person is called ajiz, bimana kaslan. Yani the meaning here of ajiz is the one who is lazy. من العجز الذي هو الكسل والخمول. يعني the meaning here of عجز is the meaning of being lazy or يعني inactive, indifferent. يعني not having any concern about doing anything. Person just laying around, يعني waiting for something to happen. وقد استعاذ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من العجز ومن الكسل. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from both inability, being incapable, and as well he sought, yani, refuge in Allah from laziness. فالعجز الذي لا حيلة للإنسان فيه لتعطل عضو من أعضائه أو حاسة من حواسه هذا معذور عاجز يستحق المساعدة. Here the Shaykh he now clarifies that the ajiz, the other type of ajiz, the person that's unable, he can't do anything about yani his condition because what? Because he has some organ or part of the body that is inoperative, that doesn't work. Or he has the loss of one of his senses, like he can't see or he can't hear or something. A person has some kind of physical handicap. هذا معذور. This one is excused. Unlike the person who's just lazy, who has the ability to get up and do something to seek their means, but they don't desire to do anything. They're indifferent to things, just yani, expecting that something is going to come to them for nothing. He said, but this person who has some physical disability or handicap, this person is excused. And this person, this ajiz, is the person that is deserving of musa'ada, the person that should be helped, that should be aided. Naam. Amma al-ajiz, الذي, the one who he is yani has laziness and indifference to doing anything, the one who has neglected the utilization of the asbab, the means of achieving things, and he claims وَيَزْعَمُ صَاحِبُهُ أَنَّهُ مُتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, yani this person who will refuse to get up and do anything, claiming that he is one who puts his trust in Allah, فَهَذَا عَجْزٌ مَذْمُومٌ. This person is the one that is blameworthy. This one is not excused. وَاسْتَعَاذَ مِنْهُ وَنَبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَاسْتَعَاذَ مِنَ الْجُبُنِ وَالْبُخُلِ وَمِنْ غَلَبَةِ الدَّيْنِ وَمِنْ كَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this type of ajiz, the person who is just lazy. And he also sought refuge in Allah from cowardice, yani stinginess, being overcome by debt, and being overcome by men. After this, the Shaykh gives another example, yani another proof of the necessity of utilizing the means to seek one's livelihood and not relying upon a false claim that someone is just mutawakkil, yani reliant upon Allah, dependent upon Allah. They're just putting their trust in Allah. Here he brings an ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 197th ayah, and the circumstances surrounding its revelation, which again shows the necessity of a person going out and seeking the means of their livelihood. وَكَانَ نَاسٌ يَحُجُّونَ مَعَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُمْ زَادْ لِلسَّفْرَ وَيَزْعَمُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُتَوَكِّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ الرِّزْقَ سَيَأْتِيهِمْ بِدُونَ أَنْ يَأْخُذُوا مَعَهُمْ الزَّادِ. Yani, so there were some people who were performing the pilgrimage with the Muslims. And the hadith, I think, is mentioned in the footnote. Yani, it was some people who came from Yemen and they were performing Hajj and they didn't bring provisions for the journey. وَلَيْسَ مَعَهُمْ زَادٌ لِلسَّفَرِ. Yani, they didn't bring the things that a person who's traveling from one land to another is going to carry, the things that a person needs for the journey. And they claimed that they are the people who put their trust in Allah. And in other words, we don't need to bring provisions because we're putting our trust in Allah. Allah will take care of us. They claim that the risk, their provisions and their sustenance will come to them without them doing anything for their provisions. بِدُونَ أَنْ يَأْخُذُوا مَاهُمْ أَزَّادِ They don't have to bring anything with them. They don't have to bring food and water and the things that a person needs for a journey. Rather, it's going to just come to them. So Allah Jalla wa'ala refuted them, saying and commanding them that no, this is wrong. Rather, you have to carry your provisions, worldly provisions for the journey in this world. And Allah also mentions in this ayah the provisions for the hereafter. He said to them, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى This is in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 197th ayah. أَمَرَهُمْ بِاتِّخَاذِ الزَّادِ So Allah commanded them to take provisions with them for their journey. Yani the first part of the ayat, وَتَزَوَّدُوا is addressed to those people who didn't carry yani material provisions for the journey. And the second part of the ayat, Allah says, فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى mentioning a different type of provisions, Yani, the provisions that is taqwa and that is provisions for the next life. So the Shaykh, he begins to explain by saying, وَزَّاد, as we understand from this ayat, وَزَّادُ قِسْمَان زَادٌ لِلدُّنْيَا وَزَادٌ لِلْآخِرَةِ So provisions are two types or two divisions. There are provisions for the world, worldly life, provisions in this world. And then there are also provisions for the next life, for the hereafter. And then he says, the first of them, زاد الدنيا, the provisions for the worldly life. يكون بالطعام والشراب والملابس وسائر ما يحتاجه الإنسان من زاد المسافر. So the provisions for the worldly life is food and drink and clothing and all of the other things that a person needs as provisions for a journey, a physical journey from one place to another. وَأَمَّا زَادَ السَّفْرَ لِلْآخِرَةِ But as far as the provisions for the journey for the next life. The journey to the next, yani for the next life. فَهُوَ التَّقْوَى Then this provision is a taqwa. And this is mentioned in the ayat, فَإِنَّ خَيْرُ زَادَ التَّقْوَى So therefore a person should have provisions for their worldly life and provisions for their hereafter. Yani, a person should make sure that they have provisions for their dunya, that is, food and drink, and everything that a person, every type of equipment that a person needs for a journey in this world, in the worldly life, such that they would not become dependent on other people. وَتَزَوَّدُوا لِآخِرَتِكَ بِالتَّقْوَى And also you must yani, carry provisions for your next life by having a taqwa. And then he says, التَّقْوَى هُوَ فِعْلْ أَوَامِرَ اللَّهِ وَتَرْقْ نَوَاهِهِ Yani the taqwa is fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abandoning His prohibitions. Yani this is a general explanation of a taqwa that is just a few words but is comprehensive. That is, a taqwa is the person occupying themselves in fulfilling whatever Allah has commanded them with and in avoiding everything that Allah has prohibited them from. This is a taqwa. Then the Shaykh goes on to explain, give an example of a taqwa. He said, فَالتَّقْوَى مَعْنَاهَا Its meaning is, أَن تَتَّخِذَ وِقَايَةَ تَقِيكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ غَضَبِهِ وَتَقِيكَ مِنَ النَّارِ The taqwa is that a person take a shield or something as a form of protection to protect you from the punishment of Allah and to protect you from the anger of Allah and to protect you from the hellfire. Yani a taqwa is that a person utilizes something as a shield to protect them from the punishment of Allah and from the anger of Allah and from the hellfire. And this protective, this shield, it will only be by a person doing righteous deeds, al-amal as-saliha. Yani this shield is not the helmet that a person puts on their head. or the coat of armor, bulletproof vest that a person wears on their chest. Rather, this protective shield is doing righteous deeds, having iman and doing righteous deeds in order to protect the person from Allah's displeasure, to protect the person from the punishment of Allah, to protect the person from being punished in the hellfire. Then the Shaykh, he says, وَبِالتَّقْوَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى تَحْصُلْ النَّجَاةِ مِنَ النَّارِ. And it is by means of a taqwa. It is by means of a taqwa of Allah that a person will achieve yani salvation from the hellfire. And this is as Allah the Most High said in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 72nd Ayat, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوُوا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًّا. Then we will rescue, we will save those who observe taqwa. And we will leave the zalimina, the wrongdoers, the unjust ones, the polytheists, the pagans, the pagan disbelievers. Al-zalimina, yani many times in the Quran, if not mostly, al-zalim in the Quran means the mushrik. Because this is the greatest form of zulm, shirk. He said, so we will save those who observe taqwa, and we will leave the zalimina in it. Yani humbled on their knees in the hellfire. Then the Shaykh, he says, so, a person will not protect himself from the fire, nothing will protect a person from the fire, illa al-amal as-salihah, except doing righteous deeds. Any of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, has declared to be righteous deeds. فَالْإِيمَانْ بِاللَّهِ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحُ هُوَ زَادِ الْآخِرَةِ. So having iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and along with that iman, as part of iman, part of iman is what? It's not just that which is in the heart, but also the actions that a person does, the actions of the limbs, the actions of the heart, the speech of the tongue, everything that Allah has legislated, everything that Allah has commanded or encouraged us, everything that's pleasing to Allah, every action, every speech, is a part of iman. So by iman in Allah and doing righteous deeds, he said this is the zad, the provisions of the next life. So just as a person, if they're going on a journey from one city to another, or from one country to another, or from one place to another, they carry provisions for the journey. Likewise, it is incumbent upon us, rather more important, that a person prepares for the journey to the next life by doing those things that earn the pleasure of Allah and protect one from His displeasure and His punishment and His hellfire. So he said that iman in Allah and doing righteous deeds is the provisions of the hereafter, and it is also a protection. It is a shield to protect one from Allah's ghadab, from His anger, and from His nar, His hellfire, and from His adab, His punishment. Here the Shaykh, he says, فَالْعَبْدْ مَأْمُورْ بِمَصَالِحْ دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهُ. So every person is commanded to attend to those things that are in the interests of his deen and his dunya. Yani, whatever is in the interests of your religious affairs and your worldly affairs, a person has to attend to these things. وَمَأْمُورْ بِمَصَالِي دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتُهُ. And also, دُنْيَاتِهِ, آخِرَتِهِ. And also a person is commanded to attend to those things that are in the interest of his worldly life and his next life, hereafter. Both of them. Yani in this world, you have religious affairs and worldly affairs. And on the other hand, he says, you also have to attend to that which is in the interest of your worldly life and your next life. And then he says, وَمَأْمُورْ بِفِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ وَمَأْمُورْ بِالتَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَمَأْمُوا بِفِلْعَ الْأَسْبَابِ. And likewise, every person is commanded to put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are commanded to utilize the asbab, the means, those things that are the causes to bring about what a person is seeking to achieve. فَلَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْجَمَعِ بَيْنَ هَذَا وَهَذَا. So it is incumbent that a person combine between this and this. This, التوكل على الله, and this فعل الأسباب. that a person has to combine putting their trust, their dependence, their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, along with going out and doing something, utilizing the means to achieve whatever it is that a person is seeking of benefit, or the protection from that which a person fears of harm. فَلَا يَفْهَمُ أَحَدٌ أَنَّ مَعْنَى التَّوَكُّلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَرْكَ الْأَسْبَابَ النَّافِيَةَ هَذَا غَلَطٌ. Nobody should understand that the meaning of tawakkul ala Allah, the Most High, is abandoning the beneficial means to achieve something. Nobody should understand this. This is a mistake. This is an error. This is wrong. Nor should anybody understand أَنَّ فِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ يَكْفِي أَنَّ التَّوَكُّلُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Nor, on the other hand, should a person understand that utilizing the means, going out and doing things, making an effort, that this will suffice a person so that they have no need of tawakkul ala Allah. So both of these are wrong. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ مِنَ الْأَمْرَيْنِ. Rather, it is necessary, yani both of these affairs are necessary, to put one's trust in Allah and also to utilize the beneficial means. So it is wrong for a person to just rely upon their efforts to achieve the goal without putting their trust in Allah. And likewise, it is wrong for a person to claim that I don't do anything, I'm not going to utilize the means to achieve, because I am actually just putting my trust in Allah. Both of these are wrong. Rather, in Islam, what is required is that a person put their trust in Allah. Yani their dependence, their reliance is upon Allah alone, while at the same time they have to utilize the means that are necessary to achieve whatever it is that they are seeking. Here the Shaykh mentions the hadith with a brief explanation of this very important hadith related to the combining of these two matters. Yani putting one's trust in Allah, yani feeling confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sufficiency, while at the same time going out, getting up and doing something. وَقَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ. And I don't know if the wording came in a different narration, but from what I could find, I only found the wording here of this hadith. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرُ تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوهُ بِطَانًا. لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. If you all were to put your trust in Allah, حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ, yani in the way that He is deserving, that you trust in Him, meaning that you put your that you turn your affairs over to Him, and you depend upon Him and rely upon Him totally, absolutely, having confidence that He is the only one that is able to take care of your needs, to provide whatever it is that you're trying to do. If a person puts their trust in Allah like this, then Allah would definitely provide for them in the same way that He provides for the bird who goes out in the morning with an empty stomach and returns in the evening with their stomach full. Yani, if the bird goes out seeking the provisions and Allah takes care of that bird, why would He not take care of the person who believes in Allah, the Muslim, the mu'min? Why would He not take care of that person? This hadith is reported by Ahmed and At-Tirmidhi wa hassanahu. And At-Tirmidhi said that it's hasan. It's narrated on the authority of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. The Shaykh now gives a brief explanation of this particular hadith, which is a tremendous hadith. The explanation is brief, but nonetheless, hopefully it brings clarity, yani in any area that there's not clarity in the actual, yani apparent meaning of the hadith itself. The Shaykh says, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if you all were to put your trust in Allah, means ta'atamiduna alayhi, that you actually depend upon Him, rely upon Him. وَتُعَلِّقُونَ آمَالَكُمْ وَتَثِقُونَ بِوَعَدِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani that a person depends upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their hopes, yani their heart is connected, their hopes are connected to Allah alone. Yani their hope is in Allah. They don't have hope that anybody else or anything else is gonna yani serve them, but rather their hope is in Allah alone. وَتَثِقُونَ بِوَعَدِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And they have confidence in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he said is the meaning of لَأَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْتُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ. Yani he said, the meaning is that you depend upon Allah and your hope is in Allah, and your confidence is in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will provide for you, like He provides for the bird who goes out in the morning with his stomach empty. تَذْهَبْ أَوَلَ النَّهَارِ لِطَلَبِ الرِّزْقِ. Yani in the beginning of the day, the bird goes out seeking his sustenance. Yani the meaning of غَدُو, it means أَوَلَ النَّهَارِ, yani going out in the beginning of the day. So he goes out, yani early in the morning, he leaves his nest with his stomach empty. Yani خِمَاصًا, he said, جَاعِيَ, yani hungry. وَتَرُوحُ, and he comes back, yani tarju, he returns in the end of the day, bitanan, yani mali'a butun, al-butun bil-rizq. And he comes back and his stomach is full with sustenance. The shaykh here says, very, very importantly, and this is the most important part of his explanation of this hadith, فَلَاحِذُوا أَنَّ الطَّيْرْ لَمْ تَبْقَى فِي أَوْكَارِهَا. Notice that the bird did not remain in his nest. Rather, he utilized the sabab. He utilized the means to achieve his sustenance. He went out from his nest. He went to the places where sustenance is found. And he left his nest and he went to the place where he knows there is sustenance. Tabhath an al-rizq, searching for his provisions. So the birds, by their nature, their fitrah, which Allah created them upon, they know that it is necessary to utilize the means to do something. So it goes out seeking its provisions, and Allah Jalla wa Ala provides for it, and it returns with a full stomach, full of the provisions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an encouragement, yani to the people of Iman, yani the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This something that is seen in nature, that everybody can witness. It's not something that happened a long time ago, and it was a miraculous event. Rather, it's something that's seen by everyone who wants to see it, every single day. That there are creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that don't have storehouses to store their provisions. But they go out every day trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making an effort to seek what they need, and Allah takes care of them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he is the most truthful, that if you do the same thing, Allah will take care of you. A person doesn't have to utilize forbidden means to get what they are in need of. Rather, put your trust in Allah, and Allah is sufficient. The shaykh, he says, that O Bani Adam, O children of Adam, if you were to act upon this, يعني عملتم هذا العمل, meaning go out and seek your livelihood, then Allah would provide for you in the same way that He provides for the birds. However, if you يعني fail to fulfill, يعني يخل الإنسان بهذا الأمر, يعني you abandon or you forsake, يعني utilizing the means and going out seeking your livelihood, then what will occur is that you will fall short. Yani your effort would be defective, and you will fall short, and you will not achieve the goal. The Shaykh says, on the other hand, if a person, yani unlike the people who didn't utilize the means, who didn't make any effort, claiming that they're putting their trust in Allah, he said, فَإِنْ اَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَسْبَابِ وَكَّلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهَا. But if a person, instead of abandoning the means and claiming to put their trust in Allah, if a person depends and relies upon the means alone without putting their trust in Allah, then Allah will yani entrust them or assign them to those means that they have depended upon, that they had confidence in, that they believed in, instead of putting their trust in Allah. Then Allah would yani assign them to those means. And this is as it came in the hadith, مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ شَيْئًا وُقِلَ إِلَيْهِ. Yani whoever hangs a thing, meaning hangs some, yani, like some, what do you call this, huh? Amulet, something like this, that they actually trust that this thing is a means of achieving their goal, attaining some benefit, or protecting them from some harm. Whoever does this, then they will be left to it. Yani to protect them, to provide for them, to do whatever it is that they are seeking. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan, in an explanation of this particular hadith, yani a brief commentary, a question that was given to him in a lecture, somebody asked him about this hadith, and he said, "Man ta'allaqa shay'an wukila ilayhi," he said the meaning is, "Man ta'allaqa qalbahu bi shay'in," yani whoever's heart is attached to something, "wa'atamid alayhi," and he relies upon that thing, "فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ وَكَّلَهُ إِلَىٰ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٍ," then Allah will leave him to that thing that he has attached his heart to. He said, this is a punishment for him. يعني أُقُوبَةً لَهُ. Allah will leave him to that thing as a punishment for him in depending upon something other than Allah instead of depending upon Allah alone. فَلَا يَجُوزَ التَّعَلَّقْ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So it is not permissible يعني for a person's heart to be attached to, that a person be dependent upon or relying upon, confident in anything or anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, yani whoever does so, they will be left to that thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave that person to the asbab, to the means that they trusted in. And those means may fail them and therefore give them no benefit at all. Yani whoever puts their trust in something other than Allah, then they are left to it. And they are left on their own to make their own way. And whoever is left on their own without help from Allah is indeed on the road to destruction. So this is on one side. The person who puts their trust in the means, then Allah leaves them to that which they entrusted themselves with. And on the other side is the person who neglects the means. They don't do anything, but they claim بِزَعْمِهِ, they claim that they are putting their trust in Allah. This person is in error in doing that. يعني مُخْتِئًا فِي ذَلِكَ وَغَيْرَ عَامِلْ بِمَا عَمَرَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And if they are in error for doing so, abandoning the means, claiming that they are putting their trust in Allah, and not only they are in error, but they are not acting upon that which Allah has commanded with. They are not acting upon that which Allah ordered us to do. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِفِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ. Because indeed Allah has commanded that a person utilize the means. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْرِ تُرْحِبُونَ بِهِ أَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَأَدُوَّكُمْ. Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 60th Ayah. And we're going to stop here at this point. Yani with this ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the believers to prepare for their enemies whatever they are able to prepare of quwwah, of power and strength. Yani to prepare to prepare for the enemy, including yani steeds of war, so that through that preparation a person would put fear into the enemies of Allah and their own enemies. Here, we want to stop right here a little bit, because the Shaykh now goes into a long discussion concerning this particular ayah and things related to jihad and preparation for jihad, and it's quite lengthy. Perhaps it goes to the end of this part of the book. So, yani rather than to enter into that, we're going to take a minute and take the benefit of what the Shaykh has mentioned here in the ayat, مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ شَيْئًا وُكِلَ إِلَيْهِ. So, in reference to this, the first commentary is from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. And he mentions in his explanation of this hadith, as it came in Kitab al-Tawheed by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he mentions, yani, concerning this hadith, some commentary which is really fundamental and very important, and we have alluded to it previously when we first opened this topic, but the commentary of the Shaykh really is yani very meticulous and of great benefit if a person can yani listen carefully. It can reflect carefully on what he's saying. So in the Kitab al-Tawheed it came the hadith of Abdullah ibn Uqaym, marfu'an, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man ta'allaqa shay'an wukila ilayhi whoever attaches himself to something, yani his heart is attached to something, he will be yani assigned to that thing. He says, قَوْلُهُ مَنْ تَعَلَّقَ شَيْئًا. The meaning of here of تَعَلَّقَ شَيْئًا, اَعْتَمَدَ عَلَيْهِ, he depended upon it. وَجَعَلَهُ أَكْبَرَ حَمِّهِ, and he made it the most, his most important concern. Yani this is the only thing that he's concerned about. وَمَبْلَغْ عِلْمِهِ, and he made it the extent of his knowledge. Yani his heart is focused on this thing that he has attached it to, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَصَارَ يُعَلِّقُ رَجَاءَهُ بِهِ وَزَوَالْ خَوْفِهِ بِهِ. So he, yani became a person who his hope is completely attached to that thing. And the removal of his fears are completely attached to that thing, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, and then he has some commentary about the word shay'an, yani that the meaning of this is general, it's technical, linguistic yani discussion here. But more importantly, yani he, under this hadith, he says, أَقْسَامُ التَّعَلُّقْ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, yani the divisions of attachment to other than Allah. Yani the divisions of the people in terms of their attachment to other than Allah. Yani the people who attach themselves to other than Allah are of three types. And he says, أقسام التعلق بغير الله. And he mentions, الأول والثاني والثالث. The first, the second, and the third. What are we talking about here? We're talking about, yani the hadith, من تعلق شيئا. Yani whoever has attached their heart to something, dependent on something. He says, يعني تعلق بغير الله, to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is ما ينافي التوحيد من أصله, يعني is the type of attachment that nullifies and negates tawheed from its foundation. يعني it eliminates a person from Islam. This kind of attachment. وهو أن يتعلق بشيء لا يمكن أن يكون له تأثير. That a person attached themselves to something that is not possible for it to have any effect. It's not possible for it to do anything. And it's not like something that does have yani a cause and effect relationship. Yani there are some things that are known in the creation according to the universal laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way He created things by their nature. And we know that fire burns, for example. Okay? We know that intense heat causes water to evaporate. We know that intense cold causes water to freeze, and that heat will melt it. So we know that there are certain cause and effect relationships that Allah created in the universe. And they only have that cause and effect relationship if Allah wills. But here the Shaykh is saying that there's an attachment to something that's not possible to have any effect. There's no cause and effect relationship. Not from the Sharia, nor from what Allah created in the universe. يعتمد عليه اعتمادا كاملا معرضا عن الله. This person puts their trust, complete, total dependence and reliance upon that thing, which is not possible to have any effect whatsoever. And they turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The likeness of this is the worshippers of the graves, the people who worship the dead people in the graves. When some calamity befalls them, so when some severe calamity befalls them, they say, Ya Fulan, Anqidhna, O so-and-so, save us. Yani the person in the grave, they go to them and call on them and say, O so-and-so, save us. And it's not possible that they can have any effect. They can't do anything for themselves or for anyone else. فَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ شِرْكْ أَكْبَرْ مُخْرِجْ عَنِ الْمِلَّةِ. This action, putting one's trust in something that has no ability, no possibility of having any effect whatsoever, and depending upon it, totally turning away from Allah. But depending on that thing, he said this, there's no doubt about it, that this is major shirk, which takes a person out of Islam. They are no longer a Muslim. Yani we can argue and dispute, yani how this ruling is applicable to any individual, it doesn't matter, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, what is the hukm shar'i? What is it that Allah has legislated? A person who does this has gone out of Islam. As far as the person who didn't know and didn't understand and nobody explained to them, that's another discussion altogether. We're talking about the action itself is major shirk that takes a person out of Islam. So the first division is the person whose heart is attached to something that has no possibility of having any effect. And their heart is completely, totally attached to it, leaving them to turn away from Allah completely. This is shirk that takes a person out of Islam. It nullifies tawheed from its foundation. The second one, he said, ma yunafi kamalat tawheed. Yani it doesn't negate tawheed from its foundation, but it negates, it nullifies the perfection of tawheed. Yani a person's tawheed would no longer be complete and perfect. And ya'atamida ala sababin shar'i sahih ma'al i'rad ana al-musabbib wa huwa Allah azza wa jalla wa adam sarf qalbihi ilayhi. That is, that a person relies upon a sabab, a means, a cause that is approved in the sharia. Sabab shar'i sahih, yani it's approved in the sharia. A cause, yani a sabab, a reason, yani something, a means that Allah has approved in the sharia. Or a sabab that is sahih, meaning that it may not be legislated in the sharia, but it is correct in that, in the universal order of things, that how Allah created things, we know that this does have a cause and effect relationship. It's a sahih, yani sabab. Not like the sabab in the first group of the people who rely upon something, la yumkin an yakun lahu ta'thir. It doesn't have any possibility of having any effect. But this is something that, yes, it is a legitimate sabab, sahih. So a person relies upon this type of sabab, along with al-i'rad an al-musabbib, turning away from the one who causes the means to have its effect. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said. Allah azza wa jalla. And they do not turn their heart to Allah. Yani they do not turn to Allah for help, for assistance. Yani to provide whatever they need to accomplish the goal. So this is the second type. It negates the perfection of tawheed, that a person relies upon a legitimate means, a legal shar'i means, while turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not turning their heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَذَا النَّوْءُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَلَا نَقُولُ شِرْكَ أَكْبَرُ لِأَنَّ هَذَا السَّبَبْ جَعَلَهُ اللَّهُ سَبَبًا. Yani he said here that this is a type of shirk as well. It's a type of shirk, but he's distinguishing it from the shirk akbar. He said, we don't say this is shirk akbar. And the reason why we don't say that is because this person has actually utilized a means that Allah made it, yani a cause. Allah made it a cause. Either in that, it is a sabab shar'i that Allah legislated in the Quran and in the Sunnah, that if you utilize this means, you will achieve this goal. Yani if you have iman and taqwa, it will be a means to what? To protect you from the hellfire, from the punishment of Allah, from the wrath of Allah. Or it is a means that is known. It is by the decree of Allah that Allah made this thing to have a certain effect. Because a person has utilized something that Allah made it as a legitimate means, then we don't say that this is shirk akbar. But it is still shirk. Why? Because even though they utilize the means that Allah made a legitimate means, but they put their trust in that means instead of putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this point has some further clarification in the kalam from Shaykh, from Al-Imam As-Sa'di. The third one, he said, attachment, yani of one's heart, he said, أَنْ يَتَعَلَّقْ بِالسَّبَبْ تَعَلُّقًا مُجَرَّدًا لِكَوْنِهِ سَبَبًا فَقَدْ. That a person's heart is attached to that sabab, simply recognizing it as a means, as a cause that has an effect. That's it. They are utilizing it because they know that it is a means. مَا اَعْتِمَادِهِ الْأَصْلِ عَلَى اللَّهِ. While their true dependence is not on the means, but it's on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they utilize that means because they know that Allah has legislated this means, or Allah has made it known to us in the universal order of things that this thing does have an effect. They do it for that reason. But their trust, their real dependence and reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَعْتَقِدُ. So their aqidah in their heart, يَعْتَقِدُ أَنَّ هَذَا السَّبَبْ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They believe that this means, this cause is from Allah. Allah made it as a means. They believe that it's from Allah. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَوْ شَاءَ لَعَبْطَلَ أَثَرُهُ. And if Allah willed, He can nullify its effect. Yani He can make fire not burn. And He can make cold not freeze. If He wills. He is the one who made it have that effect. And if He wills, He can nullify that effect. They know that. They believe that. وَلَوْ شَاءَ لَأَبْقَاهُ. And if Allah will, He can cause it to remain, having this effect that He created it to have. If He wills, He can make it have an effect, or He can remove its effect. وَأَنَّهُ لَا أَثَرَ لِسَبَبْ فِي مَشِيَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And they believe that the sabab, the cause, or the means to a thing, has no effect whatsoever. Rather, and except subject to the will of Allah. It has no effect, except that Allah wills it to have an effect. They believe this. فَهَذَا لَا يُنَافِي التَّوْهِيدِ لَا كَمَالٍ وَلَا أَصْلًا. So this doesn't negate tawheed. This, yani, utilizing the means, doesn't negate tawheed, not its perfection, nor its foundation. So this is very important, because this is the point where we want to be, that we utilize the means as Allah commanded us to. We do utilize the means. But we utilize them recognizing that they are means, that Allah has made legitimate means to utilize them. We don't, our heart is not attached to it. We don't believe that it has any effect, except that its effect or ineffectiveness is subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the one who made it a cause, and He's the one, His will is what controls it. The Shaykh, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Faymin, he says, and we're going to close his comments here, yani with this comment as he completes the discussion here. He says, in the presence of al-asbab al-shara'iyya al-sahiha, in the presence of any cause or any means that are legislated in the sharia, or that are yani decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the universal yani order of things. Shara'iyya sahiha. Yani it's either a legislated means or it's an authentic means that Allah has decreed to have an effect. يَنْبَغِي لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ لَا يُعَلِّقْ نَفْسَهُ بِالسَّبَبِ. Yani in the presence of these shar'i or yani lawful means, it is incumbent upon the human being not to connect his nafs, yani his self, his heart, his being to the sabab. Not to connect himself to the sabab. Not to attach himself to the sabab, but يُعَلِّقُهَا بِاللَّهِ. But rather, he attaches his heart and his soul and his being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he gives an example, the example of the employee. And here the translation also has a tremendous error that Allah musta'an, yani they translate it, مُرَتَّب, the salary, as مَرَتَّبَ, yani the rank. So rank here, I think the word he used was rank, yani is actually has nothing to do with the discussion here. Rather, the example the Shaykh gave is a muwazzaf who connects his heart to his salary. Ta'allukan kamilan. Completely attached to his salary. He's dependent upon his salary. He believes in that salary, that as long as he's working hard and gets his salary, he's good. Ma'irad an al-i'tiqad fil musabbib wa huwa Allah. While he turns away from having yani his aqeedah, yani his conviction attached to the one who is the real cause of things, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this is a type of shirk. This is a type of shirk. However, if a person believes, i'taqada anna al-murattab sababun, that this salary is only a cause, a means to take care of yourself and your family. It's just a means. وَالْمُسَبِّبْ هُوَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. But the one who really makes things happen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَعَلَ الْاَعْتِمَادِ عَلَى الْمُسَبِّبْ. And he makes his dependence and his reliance on Allah, the one who really makes things happen. وَهُوَ يَشْعُرْ أَنَّ الْمُرَتَّبْ سَبَبْ. And he is conscious and fully aware that this salary is only a means. That's all. فَهَذَا لَا يُنَافِي التَّوْهِيدِ. Then this, yani doesn't negate tawheed. Because the person should utilize the means. If you don't have your own business, you need to go out and work for somebody. You got to do something. But you don't put your trust in the means. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to utilize the means. While he used to, his i'timad, his dependence, his reliance, is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who makes things happen. And then finally he says, as far as the one who connects his heart to the sabab, la ta'athir lahu, that yani the means that really doesn't have any effect whatsoever on anything, like the one who connects his heart to a dead person in order to achieve his sustenance, or in order to find some ease in his affair, or in order to repulse some harm from him, the one who does this, this is major shirk. And then the Sheikh also has some commentary on ta'allak and allak, but I mean, it's linguistic. And there's benefit, no doubt, absolutely. But for the sake of time, the final comments that we want to make here related to this affair is tremendous. Yani, as always, Al-Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah, and he always brings, yani, mashallah, that which is yani, magnificent, for lack of a better word. And here, the title of what I want to yani, read here is Ahkam al-Asbab al-Thalath, yani, three rules or regulations related to utilizing means. And we just got finished talking about three types of attachment to means. And here, Al-Imam Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, in the chapter before the chapter that mentions the hadith that we were talking about, من تعلق شيئا, in the chapter before that, because these two chapters are connected to one another, he has this discussion. Yani under the chapter, من الشرك لبس الحلقة والخيط. Yani that it is an aspect of shirk that a person yani wears or uses yani some type of a ring or bracelet or some kind of thread or something that they tie around themselves as a means of protection or bringing about some benefit or anything that's similar to that to remove any harm or to repulse any harm. He said that this the discussion is related to what? It's related to utilizing those things which don't really have any effect whatsoever. Or utilizing those things that might have an effect. As it came in the next chapter, where that hadith came, that might have an effect, like ruqya, yani legitimate shari'i ruqya. It may have an effect, but the person puts their trust in the sabab instead of putting the trust totally in Allah alone. He said, هَذَا الْبَابِ يَتَوَقَّفُ فَهْمُهُ عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ أَحْكَامِ الْأَسْبَابِ. Yani this chapter, or this subject matter, yani understanding it is dependent upon knowing and being familiar with the ahkam of asbab, the ahkam, the rules or the regulations related to the means to achieve things. And the full explanation of this is yani as follows, that it is obligatory upon a person an ya'rifa fil asbab thalathata umur. It is obligatory upon a person to know yani concerning the means for things, to know three matters. Three matters. The first of them, أن لا يجعل منها سببا إلا ما ثبت أنه سبب شرعا أو قدرا. شرعا أو قدرا. Yani that you don't take anything as a means unless it is confirmed that it is a سبب شرعا or qadaran. You don't use anything as a means unless you have confirmation, certainty that it has been made a means or a cause, shar'an, in that which is legislated in the religious laws, or qadaran, that which is decreed in the universal laws. Yani Allah has decreed it to be. Either Allah has legislated in the sharia or He has decreed it in the universal order of things. You do not use anything as a means to achieve anything, benefit or to repulse harm, unless it is confirmed in the sharia or it is confirmed in that which Allah has decreed in the universal order of things. That's the first rule. So that eliminates the first thing that Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned, the people who rely upon means that are not legitimate, that have no possibility of having any effect. So the first rule is what? That we don't utilize any means unless it's confirmed that it is a legitimate means, either shar'an or qadran. The second one, أَنْ لَا يَعْتَمِدْ الْعَبْدْ عَلَيْهَا بَلْ يَعْتَمِدْ عَلَى مُسَبِّبِهَا وَمُقَدِّرُهَا. That a person, when they utilize the means that is a legitimate means, shar'an or qadran, that they do not depend upon that means, but rather they depend upon the one who causes means to have an effect, or the one who has decreed it. Yani the one who what? مُسَبِّبِهَا وَمُقَدِّرُهَا. So he has, yani he is the one who causes it to have an effect, and he is the one who has decreed it to have some effect. مَا قِيَامِهِ بِالْمَشْرُوعِ مِنْهَا وَحِرْصِهِ عَلَىٰ النَّافِعِ مِنْهَا. And this expression here, yani is not completely clear. I had a little discussion with my sons about it, and we have two different opinions, so I'm going to give like both opinions as I understand it and as my son understood it. Yani that a person, when they have these legitimate means, they don't rely upon it, but they rely upon the one who causes those means to have an effect, the one who has decreed it, along with utilizing al-mashru' minha, utilizing that which has been legislated in the sharia from those means. Yani a person doesn't depend upon the means, but they utilize them. And they have diligence and eagerness, hirsihi ala nafi minha. Yani they have diligence in taking, utilizing that which is beneficial from those means. So one interpretation of this expression is that they utilize the legislative means and they are diligently, eagerly seeking from those means that are legitimate and lawful, that which is most beneficial. That was one interpretation. The other interpretation is that they utilize these means that is mashru', meaning the asbab al-shara'iyya. And they also are diligent in utilizing the means that are not from the asbab al-shara'iyya, that is legislated in the sharia, but they are means that are known to be beneficial in the universal order of things. Yani the asbab al-shara'iyya and asbab al-qadariyya. Yani that which is a sabab shara'an, and as well that which is a sabab qadaran. So in any case, the summary of it is, the second rule is that a person, when they utilize legitimate means, they do not rely upon it, but they rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they must utilize the means and be diligent and eager in utilizing those means. Whatever means they may be, yani whether they're from the asbab al-shara'iyya, from the sharia, or asbab al-qadariyya, from what Allah has decreed in the creation. The third rule, and this is what we're going to end with, he says, أن يعلم أن الأسباب مهما عظمت وقويت فإنها مرتبطة بقضاء الله وقدره. An Imam al-Sa'di, concerning this point, he has some fatawa that he goes into details about this. But in any case, here he says, the third rule is that a person must know when they are utilizing the legitimate means, while they are not putting their dependence upon the means, but putting their dependence on Allah, they must also know that these means, no matter how great they are, no matter how strong they are, that indeed they are tied to, meaning they are subject to, the qada of Allah and the qadr of Allah. They are tied to the qadr of Allah. Yani they are not independent on their own. He says, la khuruju laha anha. Yani that these means, legitimate means, however great or whatever, yani they cannot escape from the qadr of Allah and the qada of Allah. They cannot go outside of that. It's completely subject to what Allah has decreed. Wallahu ta'ala yatasarraf fiha kayfa yasha. And it is Allah who does whatever He wills related to these means, yani however He wills. He utilizes them however He wills. One, if He wills, He can make them remain upon the causative effect that they have. He can make that happen. And in accordance with what He has necessitated by His wisdom. Yani the hikmah of what He decrees. Yani because Allah's qadr is based upon wisdom. It's not just haphazard. But it's based upon putting things in their right place. So He can make it have that effect. And these are two sides that He meant. One, that He makes those things act in accordance with what He has decreed, according to His wisdom. And this is so that people will utilize them. This is so that, yani He makes it have this effect, so that people will utilize them. When they see this does something, it has some effect, so people try to use those things, whether it's from the sharia or from the qadr, so that people will utilize them. And so that they will know, وَيَعْرِفُ بِذَلِكَ تَمَامَ حِكْمَتِهِ. So they will know the perfection and the completion of Allah's hikmah in what He has created, such that He has tied between al-musabbabat and al-musabbabat wal-asbab, between al-ma'alulat and wa'ilidiha. Yani because Allah has made a tie between the cause and the effect. He has made this, He has fixed it like this, so that certain things have a cause, and certain causes have a certain effect. So he said, the first thing is that Allah may make them act in the way that He has decreed according to His wisdom, so that people will utilize them, and so that they will know the completion and the perfection of His wisdom in making these things be attached to one another, cause and effect. On the other side, he said, وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَيَّرَهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاءَ. And if He wills, He can change those causes. He can change them from the way that they are normally expected to act. He can change them however He wills. And this is so that, لِأَلَّا يَعْتَمِدْ عَلَيْهَا الْعِبَادِ So that the people will not be dependent upon those things. Because if they work all the time, people will believe that there's no question about it. This thing is 100%. Whenever you do this, this is going to happen. The Shaykh is saying here that Allah makes those things have their effect so that people will utilize them because He has commanded us to utilize the means. And also so that they will know the perfect wisdom of Allah and making them have a cause and effect. On the other hand, He may change them however He wills so that they don't have that effect. So that people will not depend upon the means, but rather they will depend upon Allah. So that people will not be dependent upon those things. And they will know the perfection of Allah's qudra. They will see that Allah has perfect power to do whatever He wills. He can make the means do what they normally do, or He can make them do other than that. As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, we read a few weeks ago, he said that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make those means do what they are normally doing. Or He can nullify that effect, and it won't do that. Or even He can change it and make it do the opposite of what it normally does. So that which is normally beneficial, He can make it harm someone. And that which is normally harmful, He can make it benefit someone. Yani Allah is the controller of the affair. So he said here, the second side is what? If Allah wills, He will change those things so that people will not be dependent upon them. And so they will know the perfection of Allah's power, that He is the one who controls the affair. وَأَنَّ التَّصَرُّفَ الْمُطْلَقَ وَالْإِرَادَ الْمُطْلَقَ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ And so that the right, the absolute right to dispose of the affairs of His creatures and everything in existence, this is the right of Allah alone. And al-irada al-mutlaqa, that it is Allah's will that is absolute. Whatever He wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will never be. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْوَاجِبْ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ فِي نَظَرِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ بِجَمِيعِ الْأَسْبَابِ And this is what is obligatory upon every person in the way they see this affair and in the way that they act upon it with all of the asbab. Al-asbab, al-shar'iyya, al-diniyya, wal-asbab, yani al-dunyawiyya, al-qawniyya. Whatever type of means that is legitimate, this is how we have to see it. And not only do we see it like this, that Allah is the absolute control of every affair and nothing happens except by His will, but then we have to act like that. It's not just nazari. Yani, this is philosophy, this is theory, this is intellectual, academic discussion. I agree that Allah is the control of everything, but then you act like something else. No, he said, this is what is obligatory upon every person, fi nazarihi wa amalihi bi jami' al-asbab. We have to see it like this, and we have to act upon it like it is Allah, in fact, who has absolute control. And as Shaykh As-Sa'di said in his definition of tawakkul, that it means the first thing is that you have knowledge. أن الأمر يعني كله لله. That the whole of the affair belongs to Allah. وما شاء كان وما لم يشاء لم يكن. Whatever Allah wills will be and whatever He doesn't will never happen. وأن الله سبحانه وتعالى هو النافع. هو الدار. He is the one who benefits and He is the one who harms. هو المعطي وهو المانع. He is the one who gives and He is the one who withholds. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. يعني everything. And there's nothing that can change from one condition to another. There's nothing that a person can do to achieve good or harm except by the power and strength of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah allow us to reflect a little bit on what the Shaykh As-Sa'di has said here and what Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen has said and what the author, yani Shaykh As-Salih Fawzan, Hafizullah, has said concerning this matter, the summary of it being that it is incumbent upon the Muslim to utilize only legitimate means that are in the Sharia or that we know in the creation. And then it is also obligatory upon us not to rely upon those means at all. Our heart should not be attached to those means. No matter how effective that medicine is or that treatment is, know for a fact it can only be effective. It will only be ineffective according to Allah's will. As one doctor told me, this is like in person, that radiation treatment for cancer sometimes removes the tumor completely from a patient. And in another case, it doesn't do anything. This is what a cancer doctor said, who's a specialist, the head of a department in radiation treatment. That some patient goes into their treatment and it removes the tumor completely. And another patient goes in, comes out, no change whatsoever. That is a clear acknowledgement that is nothing is going to happen except by the will of Allah. There's no benefit, there's no harm, except it's subject to the will of Allah. Every means, whatever it might be, is all subject to the will of Allah. And therefore, It doesn't make sense that a person put their trust in the medicine, or in the doctor, or in the treatment, or in their skill, or in their expertise, or whatever it is that they are utilizing. It doesn't make any sense to put, to attach one's heart and one's hope and one's fears in anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has control over the whole of affairs. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.